The Supreme Court's labor union decision applies to public sector workers, but could affect private sector unions, too. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. Supreme Court's big decision yesterday in Janus versus AFSCME bars unions from collecting fees from non-union members in the public sector. So it takes aim specifically at government workers, a third of whom are unionized. But what might this decision mean for workers and unions in the private sector? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 6.5% of workers in private companies are union members. But the Janus decision could still do some damage to unions that represent them. That's because some big private sector unions have been organizing government workers, says attorney Stephen Suflis at law firm Ballard Spahr.
The Teamsters, SEIU, the auto workers, to the extent that their revenue stream is reduced, they'll have less dollars to commit in the private sector for organizing new members.
The Janus decision is based on a First Amendment argument that doesn't apply to workers at private companies, says Susan Sherman at Rutgers University. Still, she says anti-union activists have other ways to advance their agenda.
The next step in the private sector that conservative politicians will aim is, I think they'd like to gut the National Labor Relations Act and have a national right to work law.
28 states already have right to work laws that ban public and private sector unions from collecting fees from non-members. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's take a look at the numbers this morning. The FTSE in London is up less than 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.3% range, with the Dow future up 65 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.84%. Chipotle says it'll shut down up to 65 underperforming restaurants and revamp its marketing under the direction of its new CEO, Brian Nickel. The restaurant chain is adding in-app delivery for about 2,000 of its restaurants and adding a loyalty program. Chipotle stock has risen 80% since Nickel came on board as CEO in February.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace delivers public service journalism that matters. Now, you can help us do it by becoming a Marketplace investor today. And right now, your donation in any amount could unlock a $25,000 challenge from Candida if we meet our fiscal year goal of 6,000 donors by June 30th. Contribute today at marketplace.org to support the news you trust.
Men who run startups get the vast majority of venture capital money. But is it true that the odds of success are better with startups run by women? My colleague David Brancaccio is at the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado this week, where he spoke to Eileen Fisher about this.
Yes, the Eileen Fisher, designer, founder, and chair of the board of the women's clothing brand. Ms. Fisher, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You run a panel here at Aspen the other day with the Shark Tank guy.
Oh, yes. That
Kevin
was
O'Leary,
fun.
Right? He's not just a celeb on TV. He is an investor, and he's
Correct.
Interested in startup companies. He thinks he does better when he gives money to startups run by women, better
I
than
love
the
it.
Men. Does that make sense to you? You were sitting
Absolutely.
On that panel.
Well, I think it sort of confirmed from a totally different angle my personal instinct and my personal experience. And what he said is that women seem to be a little less aggressive in their targets, and they look more long-term at things, and so they kind of grow more slowly.
So when a real sociologist comes in and does a peer-reviewed study into this notion of gender and startups, it wouldn't surprise you if the data bears out
yes,
this
yes.
observation?
Yes. And I think there's more to it than the way he was framing it personally. Because I actually think that we women do things a little differently, not because we're different or better, but because we've been socialized differently. For example, I think we're more listeners. I'm more of a listener. I lead very loosely, kind of from the side. I try to give people freedom as much as possible.
So does the buck stop anywhere at Eileen Fisher?
In some ways, it stops with me, of course, as the chair of the board now, but we have a leadership team with six people, and so each they sort of head different areas. So they come together weekly and spend hours together and make decisions together. So the buck stops with them.
But what you call it at Eileen Fisher is deeply democratic decision
making. Deep democracy. Yeah. So the idea is you sit in a room and maybe someone makes a presentation about an idea or a project or a decision that needs to be made. And the group, you know, puts their thumb up if they're in agreement, thumb down if they're not, and sideways if they're not sure. And so then you have a discussion, and the people who aren't sure or are negative are asked, what would you need to come on board with this? The idea is that then people, if they have some disagreement, they don't walk out of the room and say, why did we make that decision, and then split off in some way, but that they're part energetically of the flow forward.
Eileen Fisher, the company, is a B Corp.
Yes.
So that's still for profit, but not just for profit.
Right. Basically, the concept of B Corp is that you measure not just your, you know, profits each year, but you measure your environmental and social impacts. So you have to track all these things. You have to meet certain standards in order to be a B Corp. Like right now, we know that business is a huge polluter. You know, the fashion industry is a huge polluter. But business in general doesn't have to pay for the use of the air and the water that they pollute. I think it's a commitment. It also groups you together with like-minded businesses that are trying to also sort of be a force for good in the world. So that's good. But actually, what we're finding is, again, like with women's businesses, it's successful. It works. And people want to support businesses that they feel good about, that they know that are trying hard to do things differently.
Eileen Fisher, designer and founder of the eponymous clothing brand, Eileen Fisher. Ms. Fisher, thank you.
Thank you.
Amazon, the company that sells everything, is beefing up its delivery network. It's asking entrepreneurs to develop small delivery companies using Amazon-branded vans. The company says it has to build out its own delivery network to handle surging online orders that UPS, FedEx, and the U.S. Post Office can't. If you want something done, you have to do it yourself, I guess. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.